Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
On air. I will tell you, we had such trouble and technical issues last week, so I'm hoping I solved them all and everybody can get in and everybody can hear. So today, I have the famous, the fabulous, the awesome YouTuber, Minnow Pond. I am just so excited. Before I actually let him talk, I am so excited to tell you about him and the reason I've switched up the Monday for the Thursday, because Susan Z, our Queen Z, has nicely took Thursday, which is my guest slot, because Minnow Pond has a new type of astrology, zodiac, whatever he wants to call it, decante, coming out today. So I am so excited to talk to Chris. Hi, Chris!
Hey, Bonnie, how are you?
I am doing fabulous. Tell me that you got it all out today.
Oh, I did. Everything's out and looking good.
Well, I know everybody wants to know what I'm talking about, and I didn't even get to preview this because Chris tried to send it to me during the weekend, but because it was on auto, I couldn't see it before all you get to see it either. But Chris, can you tell me, first of all, Chris reads these crazy cards. Well, they're not crazy. They actually look like playing cards. But he also channels from above many universes, and I just adore him. If you go to Minnow Pond on YouTube, you'll see him. But I know, Chris, you have a new way. You've just come out with something you're not so sure you're going to keep going with because it's a lot and time-consuming. But can you tell everybody what's different between the astrology tarot you did before and what is coming out today?
Yeah, sure. So what I have done in the past is just broken up my readings by all 12 signs in the zodiac. But this week I came out with readings and I split each sign into three parts. So in astrology, there are the decans of astrology, which is about every 10 days in any sign. Now, some of the signs are different, but again, it's approximately every 10 days is one decan in astrology. And so I did a reading for each decan, so that's three kind of readings for each sign, and split them up that way. It's a little bit more accurate, and it has to do with the fact that pretty much each decan in all those signs, they all kind of have, sometimes they can have the same ascendant or same other similar signs, so it makes it a little bit more specific to the sign.
Couldn't figure that out at all, because I remember seeing that I think mine is Cancer and I'm the third decan, but I don't know. How can I be the third decan when I'm in the middle of the month? So go ahead.
It goes by, it does go by birth date. And I don't know. I think you're actually the first decan, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong.
No. I think on that, well, you got to take a look at this because I'm not quite sure. I know more accurate readings is what everybody wants because people say, oh, how can every Scorpio or every Cancer or every Leo be exactly the same? But, you know, all readers always say that, you know, take what resonates with you. But when you break them down to decants, and I don't know if it's decanty or decant, you're actually much more, because a third, it's much more accurate. And I know that some people do that. I've known a reader for a long time who actually believes in decants, and that's why I'm bringing you on to tell everybody that I can't believe you're doing it because it's a lot of work. But the first decant or the decante is what? The first 10 days of a sign, the middle, the next 10 days of the sign?
The first decan is the first 10 days, and then the second is the second 10 days, and, of course, the third is the last 10 days of a sign.
And why is it more accurate? Because I'm not sure how that breaks down and why, because what does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, like I said, a couple things. In those decans, a lot of the time, depending on where you're born, I would have to break it down by every single day, of course, to get, you know, laser targeted. But for the most part, when you're born in a decan, you typically have, everybody born inside of that decan probably has the same rising signs or same other similar planetary signs, whereas decan 1 and decan 2 might have different, different parts, different dominating aspects as well.
Well, how can I ask a question? Because this is so exciting. I want you to give it. Well, I don't know if you can give an example, but tell me what made you want to do this and do all this work? Because, you know, this is what you do for a living. But when you do it on YouTube, you don't get, you just are looking to have viewers, which everybody here, please go to Minnow Pond on YouTube. Go grab your sun sign decant and see what you think. But why did you decide to break it up and make it better for all of us?
I did it to make them, like I said, mostly just to make them a little bit more accurate. These are they're 2016 readings as well, so I wanted to do something like a little bit more special for 2016. But also, you know, the thing is that I don't like to do year-long readings for the most part because, you know, too much changes over a year. But I figured if at least I broke them down into these parts, it would still, I could still deliver a message that would still be pretty accurate for the whole entire year without, you know, stretching out too far.
I think that's fabulous, first of all. And I think that it's really nice that you would want to do that for every sign because it is a lot.
Yeah.
But can you tell me, in a second, I'm just getting so excited, but can you tell me, was there any, like, you know how you'll say, oh, gosh, this card came out for every sign. Was there anything special that you feel was the theme for any of these for 2016?
Yeah, I mean, there were two things that really stood out to me. One, people pretty much almost, I would say at least every sign, maybe not every single decant, but almost every single sign was receiving a lot of nines. And nines represent opportunities. And one of the things that I expressed in the videos is that I really think 2016 is a year where the universe is really kind of delivering a lot of opportunities to all of us. Because we've been extremely challenged for like 8 years. You know, it's been very, very tough astrology. But now we have these opportunities. And the thing with the nines and the types of opportunities that you get is that they do require work. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can't just sit around and hope that something happens in 2016. But I think 2016 is going to be like an action year for a lot of people. And even just intuitively, it's something that I picked up on. And, you know, I try to also tell people that I think that on a global scale, I think, you know, things are still going to be kind of crazy. So I keep telling people to ignore anything that's going on globally. But I think personally, for us as people personally, I think 2016 is going to be a much lighter year. Like I said, you have to ignore the global stuff. But just as individuals, I think things are going to start to improve. So that's one thing that really stood out. And the second thing was, it was very, I mean, the readings were kind of very polar. It's like, on one hand, a lot of the signs were really focused on learning and learning a lot of new things and trying to even, you know, changing their skills and sets, and all of this came up for a lot of, like, half the signs, almost like 50%.
Wow.
And then the other half of the signs, it was pretty crazy. It was very, very focused. And then for the other 50%, it was like a lot more focus on work and on that action that I was speaking about and kind of like moving forward. So it was pretty interesting.
Wow. Or any of this. So you're seeing a lot more focus. Maybe I'm getting it wrong, but a lot more focus on moving forward, working hard, and getting things done. Any love in the air for 2016 for any of the signs?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It popped up for like a lot of signs. I think love is moving, you know, it's kind of moving forward. One thing that, you know, I'll touch on too is that we've been kind of going through these Scorpio and Libra cycles. And a lot of astrologers call, like, you know, Libra is a cardinal sign. And the cardinal signs used to be called in like ancient astrology the hinge signs, like a hinge on a door. And that this is also something I talk about in the readings a little bit, pretty much for every sign. And it's kind of like, you know, we're coming out of some of these cycles, and it's almost like the door is opening up for a lot of people. So, you know, I definitely think love is definitely coming in. Most people have been either, you know, in a relationship or just not in a relationship for a long time. And it's kind of, you know, been tough. I think love has probably been one of the toughest things over the past several years.
Well, you know what? Now that you brought up like cardinal, I think it's cardinal, fixed, and what's the other one?
Mutable.
Mutable. Can you tell us, because I'm always mixed up, but like I love that you said cardinal is like a hinge, but what does that mean, that it can blow with the wind? Like it could go here and it could go there? Describe what those mean, because like when I think of cardinal, and I think I'm a cardinal sign. But I'm not sure if I am. But I think, you know, when I think of cardinal, I think of birds. So I don't know what that has to do with a hinge. But I know that I can't keep them straight, and I don't know why. So can you tell everybody what is the difference between cardinal, mutable, and fixed, and why certain signs are like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so let's start with cardinal signs. I think astrologers have, I mean, you know, there are definitely some astrologers that know this stuff, so I'm not hating on any astrologers by any means, but I think they've kind of done a disservice to the cardinal signs because, again, in ancient astrology, they were originally called the hinge signs, like I said, and it really represents, like, kind of that being able to move but still being fixed.
Uh-huh.
And kind of like having to do with the doors and everything like that. Also, you know, the cardinal signs also have to do with kind of like the angles. And I'm by no means an expert in astrology. So, you know, I think you'd have to get somebody on here that knows a little bit more about this. But
I'll ask Ron.
You know, again,
did you know?
Yeah,
I'm just looking. Yeah, I'm just looking for what you think they are. Because everybody has, I mean, there is a definition to all of this, and people can look it up.
Right.
But because you're doing the readings and you're doing all this, you know, with the decants and all the different sun, moon, and signs and everything, I want to know what you think about those signs and what they mean to you, why mutable, fixed, and cardinal are important.
Yeah, so the cardinal signs to me are kind of the most stable. They have to be very hardworking. That I mean, definitely, and you know, they kind of have to be good at change. Sometimes mutable signs can get stuck, you know, needing to change things. So they can get stuck in old cycles and a lot of these other things. It kind of goes again back to that, not to beat a dead horse here, but that hinge thing. Needing to, like, open new doors and look at new ways of doing things. And the mutable signs, on the other hand, they need to become, you know, the mutable signs are mutable, so they can change very easily. They can make a lot of, they can do, you know, a lot of things, and they kind of can go back and forth. But that's kind of something that can also hinder them in a lot of ways. So they can make too many changes. They cannot stay focused on one thing, and you know, that can lead to just a lot of being too spontaneous in life. So they need to learn how to become kind of like more focused, more fixed, kind of on one thing in their life. And that doesn't mean they can only do one thing, but usually it helps when they focus on just only a few kind of things and stay really focused and not kind of get off that path. And then the fixed signs are, of course, the most stable. They have to do with, you know, they are very stable, but they can also be very, very stubborn, probably the most stubborn signs that there are. And, you know, this is like, the fixed signs are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. So, you know, Leos can be, I would say I was raised with, you know, three Leos in my house, or two Leos in my house, and Taurus. And I'm a Pisces, so I had to deal with all this crazy sick, rigid, you know, very stubborn energy. And that, you know, I'm of course very free and not any of those things, because I'm a mutable sign.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's really interesting. I think, you know what they say, and I'm just going to pass this through you, but they say that we all pick our zodiac sign because each one of them, which is so interesting to me, has certain qualities and characteristics that we have to come here to either learn or work on. So I think that is, like, really crazy that we think that, like, oh, I'm going to pick a Scorpio. Oh, my gosh, talk about six. Or, oh, I'm going to pick a, you know, a Libra. Oh, my goodness, I'm just this and that. But I love to think that, because what I'm also wanting to get to, and I want everybody to know what I feel, is we all come down as each zodiac sign, each lifetime. We can't just pick one. Like, if we always want to be a Cancer because we always want to have a great nurturing family, or learn about great nurturing families. But we all have the ability, and we all do move around the zodiac. So when they say Aries is the first sign and Pisces is the last, the old man of the zodiac, man, if you're a Pisces, Chris, you're coming back as a brand new baby. You're going to come back as an Aries next time.
Right.
So I love that. And that's why it just fascinates me to talk about the zodiac, talk about signs. I don't know much about it, but I do know that I resonate so much with why we come here and what signs we pick. So I'm just glad you're giving us more. I would ask you to give examples, but I'm going to tell everybody to please go to your YouTube site, because today, and that's why I brought Chris on, is the first day that he's got the Decantes on his site, correct?
Correct.
So everyone, please go to Minnow Pond on YouTube, go grab your sign and look and see what Decante you are, and listen to what he's got for you, because he's just amazing. Chris, I am going to go to the first caller, unless you want to tell our audience about anything else that you've doing these that you've discovered.
No, I'm all set.
Okay. 719, I promised you could talk to Chris. Hey! Hi!
Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Kelly.
Hey,
how are you? Thank you for taking the call. I appreciate that.
Well, you both read the same kind of cards. Remember, Kelly. She's the one that does the Atlantean life and birth cards. Did you ever get your cards done, Chris? That's right, Kelly. When you get your, you have to unload them from your
move. I have to unload and unpack, so yeah.
Okay.
We're still in that process.
Chris, you're the first one to get them. You're the first one when Kelly does them again on the show to have yours done. Okay, Kelly, go ahead. I said you could talk to Chris. Go for it. Do you have any words on Decantes? I mean, I'd like to know what you think about them.
I haven't really studied a lot. I know there's, I know that, just listen to what he was saying there. I know I'm in the middle, because where my birthday falls in Aquarius, I'm in the middle of Decantes, so it's like I'm very, very typical Aquarius, where it's like, I've seen the results of, some of the family members who are in either that first one or the third one. It's like, and they have, I was going to say, he nailed it pretty good. It was like, I like what you had to say, Chris. It was good.
Go ahead.
I do have a question. I've actually got a couple of them always. But this morning, and I didn't know if you want to speak to this, go for it. And if you want me to ask a different question, I can. But what's been on my mind most is my 15-year-old, she flunked her hearing test at school when they screened him. So I was like, okay, we finally have some other pieces of the puzzle, because she's dyslexic. Now we have this, flunked hearing moment, and I'm going, okay, and it's not because of, them being allowed to listen to loud music or, with earbuds or anything like that. So I'm trying to figure this one out. And then more recently, she's been passing out. She'll hang on this bar. And it was, my mother used it for, she'd hang on the bar 5 minutes, 3 times a day, and it would help keep her out of the chiropractor's office, because it would, kind of naturally adjust her back. So Jazzy was kind of doing the same thing, except apparently she's done it about, 10 or 12 times, and there was once where she didn't stand up quick enough, I guess. It's like, she says, I feel like woozy, and she actually, lost her grip on the bar and fell down and whacked her head on the door. And it was like, what are you doing? And she says, I don't know. She says, how I get down here? And it's like, okay, that's kind of weird. So when she hangs on something like that and takes the pressure, off her feet or whatever, she's having some kind of an issue. I'm going to say this is all in her head, because, dyslexia is something with the brain. Hearing obviously is, that functions in the head. And it's like, and now the thing where she's getting lightheaded and not quite aware of what's going on until she hits the floor, I'm like going, okay, but it only happens when she hangs on stuff. It doesn't happen any other time. So is there kind of anything that you can, get or sense, or, is she vitamin or mineral deficient, or has she got something, pressing on it? Does she need to go to the chiropractor? It's like, is there anything you can pick up with that?
Yeah, I mean, I usually do not like to do health related questions, but I know that you are, you are different. And so, of course, definitely don't take my advice as, I'm not a doctor and so forth,
right,
but, from
don't
what
worry,
I'm getting,
Chris, I wouldn't let you answer if I did feel that the person that was on the other line would be taking your word for it and not a doctor. So yeah, let me be prerequisites for everybody listening, that whenever anybody makes a medical statement, and we do, we just do, that we aren't doctors. I am a nurse, but I am not practicing as far as knowing who you are, except energetically. So please, whenever we do answer those questions, and I don't feel I have a medical intuitive that comes on, that we just know that we're giving you energetically what we feel, and going to the physician will either confirm it or find something else. So go ahead, Chris. With that, you can answer.
Yeah, so I'm not going to pull any cards on this. It's just something that I feel. I think that it's it feels like something with her equilibrium. I think it has to do with her inner ear. I'm being shown a picture of the inner ear and some sort of like fluid buildup or maybe even infection or something like that, that even if she's not feeling it, you know, it's still there. And it's, I think it's kind of like causing an issue that's that has to do with balance and, you know, and something else that I'm not quite getting. But I would say it's an inner ear issue. So, I mean, I would definitely go to the doctor. And yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Is this something that started? Is this something that just started, Kelly?
Yeah, it is. This is like a really, okay. I'll just say recent, you know, recent development. I mean, because she's, you know, I mean, there's never been, as far as I knew, you know, an issue with her hearing, and it's like, but it makes a lot more sense because, you know, she's in a brick and mortar school now, and she'll, you know, just swear up and down, it's like, I didn't hear the teacher say that, so I'm like going, well. Considering that she flunked, like, you know, 8 of her pure tones and she only passed 2 of them, it's like they are going to reevaluate her. The school district is going to reevaluate her December 7th. We have that set up and see, you know, where we go from there or what's going on, you know, with her. So, yeah. And then there was a question of, you know, whether I just wondered if there was, like, you know, pressure in the brain, you know, that kind of stuff. And, I mean, my mom had, no, she wasn't hypoglycemic, but she had low blood pressure. You know, but I'm kind of going, I don't know if low blood, you know, that would be, you know, something genetic. Of course, my dad had high blood pressure, so anyway. But I didn't know if it would be, you know, something related with that or not. But, yeah, for sure, we're pursuing what avenues we have here at the moment. So, yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah. Are you picking up eustachian tubes? Is the eustachian tubes what you're seeing, Chris? Because maybe it's fluid behind the eustachian tubes, which is deep in the ear. Like, they'll have to look in her ear to see and find that fluid.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I feel like it's deep. And like I said, it's almost like I get that she doesn't even, you know, isn't even necessarily feeling it, if that makes sense. So, you know, but I think it's something that is definitely, you know, like I said, it's in the ear, yeah, very deep.
Yeah. So that's a good, you know, maybe you can take them to your physician, Kelly, and have them do like ear, nose, and throat, or an ear, nose, and throat would be able to help you out there. And I,
yeah.
You know, I still think that it could be, you know, I still feel like something familial. So whether it's hypoglycemic on top of that or something that drops her pressure pretty fast. So, yeah, I would have her ears definitely. I didn't even think of that, Chris. Have her ears checked out and her blood sugar checked out. Okay?
Yeah. Sure.
Anything else? Go ahead for another question. I know you have one.
Yes, this one is actually on my 13-year-old. I'm just gonna put it real generically and just say we've made a recent change in his schooling procedures, and I'm just wondering if. He is going there. We have 47 days until the end of the semester, and it's like, will he be successful in trying to accomplish what he's doing?
Let's see here.
That's a good one
13.
For your card.
He's 13. He's an Aries. Yeah, I was going to say he's an Aries, year of the horse. He's an Aries, April 7th, Aries.
Yeah, I would definitely say yes. For sure. I mean, well, he's got the four clubs coming up first. And for me, four clubs is definitely like a double checking thing. And, you know, I hesitate to call it a second chance because really three of clubs is my second chance card. But I am getting like a second chance type of vibe off this four clubs here. And, you know, it's a card of, it is a card of double checking things and needing to double check. And that seems to be a very strong focus right now. So, I mean, the rest of the cards are extremely positive. So, you know, that's the interesting thing. You have, not that the Four of Clubs is a negative card to me, but, I mean, you have, like, Ace of Hearts here, which is a card of happiness. Three of Hearts for me is the card of happiness. Queen of Hearts, card of happiness. At the end, yeah. So, I mean, you even have the Jack of Hearts as well. So, you know, those are all cards of happiness and moving forward. I mean, I do like to see the Jack of Hearts there too, because, I mean, that would represent him. I mean, Jacks for me always represent a young person. And, you know, he is successful here. And I will say this, too. I mean, the other thing is that the deck that I'm using at the moment has tarot imagery on every single card. So, you know, like the Jack of Hearts is like now, I have no clue what I was trying to say there, but the Jack of Clubs, cups or whatever in the tarot deck. What am I trying to say, Bonnie?
Is it the Ace of Cups?
Maybe the Knight of Cups.
I think of your the ISO. Okay, so what does the card mean? Because the Ace of Cups would be like new beginnings, new, you know.
Oh, right. Yes.
So is your,
you know,
Jack,
I was
meaning?
About, I was talking about the Jack of Hearts, which in the tarot,
like young person,
would be
right.
Right.
The Jack would be the heart. Right,
it
would
be
probably the Four of Hearts. Okay, because I'm going to look at it right. I have a deck right with me, Chris. So what are you asking me? What, the Jack of Clubs?
No. I said the Jack of Hearts on this deck is, it looks like the Knight of Cups in the tarot.
Yes, exactly, because the knights are young. I thought you were going to say it, because it wouldn't be the King of Cups. Absolutely. So you know what a Knight of Cups is, Kelly, the Knight of Cups. The Knight of Cups is emotion, moving forward, young person, cup runneth over. So it's a very, I mean, I could give you the definition, absolutely the definition with what it means. But, you know, Knight of Cups is all about emotion, moving forward, happiness. Knight is a young person. Let's see if I can find exactly what it is. Because, you know, I love tarot, but I can't memorize the card. So, I mean, we all know about cups. Cups is what intuition is, maybe using his intuition. I love that. So what were you trying to say about that Jack of Cups?
It's good that he comes up, I mean, in the reading. You know, I always say when somebody comes up in the reading, it really puts him in more of a position of strength and, you know, success. So I would say that things will go well.
Okay, here we go. Knight of Cups. Is that what you want? The Knight of Cups. Oh, I love this. He is a romantic knight on a quest and has a dream of ideal love. Sometimes he is so caught in the dream that he lacks the initiative to complete his task. He is gentle, loving, sensitive, easily hurt, and can be moody. That might be exactly. When the Knight of Cups appears in your life, he will signify a new romantic interest or idea. However, he could also indicate that you are about to enter a creative phase in your life, which absolutely would be success in school if he's actually in a creative type of environment.
Right. And he has this massive crush on this girl. So. Going, oh, boy. Yeah. Okay.
He has some hearts cards there, so.
You're right. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. That is so funny. You know what, Kelly? You fail every time. I'm going to tell you this on air, because you're like me, to ask a question about yourself. Like, I thought you were going to get on and ask about you. But I know that you're like me. Your kids are everything. So where I am going to move to the next caller, if you hang on and I've got a few minutes, I'll grab you back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, hold on. Okay. All right. I have 561. 561, you are on with Minnow Pond. Chris Rack. Hi.
Hi.
Who am I speaking with?
Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. How are you today?
Good. Hope you all had a great holiday. And
let's ask. Hey, Chris, did you have a great holiday? Because I didn't even ask you.
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you. Yours was good, right?
Well, you know, until there was a disaster at the end. But how about you, Stacy? How was yours?
Yeah, pretty good. Just glad to get back to work.
Right.
Oh, is that a work question you've got for Chris?
Well, being holidays are coming up, I'm just want to see what time frame or what I'm a Capricorn, what zodiac sign you see me with for a relationship or dating. You know, what's the next zodiac sign that you see coming up for me, or time frame for me meeting somebody?
You know, I think actually I'd be curious to know what's in the rest of your chart, just as far as zodiac goes, because I'm getting pretty strongly that you would actually do well with a water sign, which is not normally, you know, which is not normally the case for Capricorn. Capricorns usually don't, you know, they don't necessarily, it's not necessarily a perfect match, but I think the rest of your chart would probably match up well with that, because it's coming in very strong, the whole water sign thing. Not a Cancer. Exactly.
Because I just know, like, other earth signs, I kind of don't really, match with for some reason, and I'm a Capricorn.
That's very classical, you know, Capricorn right there. Capricorns, all the earth signs are always challenged when it comes to people in general. You know, they always can experience, like, problems with friends, even, like, losing friends very frequently and making new ones. But it's kind of like, it's something that you came here to learn. And so that's why it happens a lot to Capricorns. But I definitely think that love is going to be coming in for you. I don't necessarily think, like, right now, right away, but I think it is coming very quickly. Over the next year, I think you'll see things kind of like improving. But, you also got some, like, a bunch of cards that represent happiness, the same as the last caller coming in. But, I definitely would have to say water sign.
There is a Pisces that I like, and there's a Leo. Do you see either of them?
I mean, I would definitely have to say that it would be the Leo. I mean, the Pisces, of course. But let's see what the cards want to say to that. And yeah, I mean, I would. I specifically asked too. I was like, so I said, you know, the Leo. It's funny because you actually got the Three of Spades and the Ace of Spades, and those are both kind of like no cards to me. And then I asked about the Pisces, and I got the Five of Hearts, which is literally the birth of a relationship, and you have the Ace of Clubs, which can also represent a relationship coming in as well.
That's pretty cool.
The Three of Spades and the Ace of Spades, that sounds scary. What does that mean?
No, like I said, I just kind of asked a yes-no question. And the Three of Spades to me, Three of Spades is considered a breakup card. Ace of Spades... You know, Ace of Spades has a long story that goes along with it that I always tell, but I kind of say that it's like a forest fire in your life, the Ace of Spades. It, like, burns everything down in your life, and, Yeah, it's kind of like the Tower, exactly, kind of like a disaster card. The only difference being the Ace of Spades allows for regrowth, you always end up growing back, like, 1,000 times stronger, and better off. So it would definitely be a learning lesson, to say the least, but I don't think you have to necessarily, I don't think you have to go through that, is what I'm trying to say there.
And the Five of Cups is what?
It's the Five of Hearts, and it's the birth of a relationship. It's like, you know, literally birthing a new relationship.
Wow. And the next card was what?
It's the Ace of Clubs, which is, the Ace of Clubs, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, is probably the best card in the deck, because It brings abundance to your whole life. It's a big-time growth card, and so it kind of allows you to grow in your whole entire life. It makes you feel very happy as well, so it's another card of can be another card of happiness.
Well, you know what? Paired with, you know what, Chris? Paired with the heart card, and it means happy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's a new relationship coming in that's going to make her very happy.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know,
does that mean it's one of these people, or?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I asked about the Leo, and I got that no, and then I asked about that Pisces, and I got the yes.
Wow. No, that's good. Do you see, like, it soon, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Pisces, I think, is going to require a little bit of work, if I'm picking up on that correctly. And
they always
do. Yeah, he's very shy. He's very shy.
Yeah, I just pulled a card on it. So you got the Eight of Clubs. Eight of Clubs is actually a good card, but it's all about communication and needing to communicate. I think you would have to probably be a little bit more, a little bit more forward.
Yeah, because I'm not. I like them to be.
Right. Yeah, and that, I mean that's the classic challenge with Pisces, by the way. So.
Yeah, it is. So it's not me, because I'm thinking, but when you said about making friends and losing, it's just weird because with friends, I notice that, like some will call me just when they have no boyfriend anymore. They're not like really true friends. You understand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have Capricorn very heavily in my chart. So, I totally understand what Capricorn has to deal with when it comes to, friends and all of that. It has to do with Capricorn. It is incredibly grounding. They're very grounded. And plus, Capricorns have been through usually a lot in their life. So they have a lot of experience to share. So that's why, of course, after a disaster, everybody comes straight to Capricorn, because of that, because you've probably already dealt with whatever it is that these other people have dealt with, and you have the best advice. So it can definitely feel like that.
And you know what
I
think? Well, you know what I think too, Chris and Stacey? I think, when you were asking what signs, and I'm going to tell you I'm a Cancer, and my polar opposite is Capricorn. That's why I said, no, Cancer, because usually the polar opposites are drawn together.
You know what that means? With Cancers, either you'll get along really good or you may clash.
Right.
No,
with a mate.
I'm not saying with friends you get along good, but I'm just saying with the opposite sex, it will either be perfect or be opposite. But
usually
a Capricorn gets along good with the Cancer guy if he gets along good with his mom.
Well, I'm a big believer that any guy that gets along with his mom and treats his mom well is going to treat his girlfriend well. So I'm a counselor, so I totally get that. But I'll tell you, when I look at signs like you're talking about, and I know that I know what somebody told me is this. I think it was Ron Cole. He said that when water and earth mix, it makes mud and sticks like glue. When fire and fire mix, it's like fire and air mix. They get along well because the air billows the fire up. So it's really interesting if you think about it. And signs, so you should get along with all water signs better. Most of the time, like a water and water will get along very well usually because still waters run deep. Water and water just makes more water. Fire and fire makes the fire burn higher. So, it's really interesting. I don't know which ones don't go well, but I think it was something like water and fire, because water will put the fire out. So, you think of these little things. But
with Pisces, the best match would be a Cancer, believe it or not. That's why the two of you get along so good.
How do you know that? Wait. How do you know that Chris is a Pisces?
He said it.
Yeah,
he did?
It.
Well, how did you know I was a Cancer?
You said it.
Yeah, you said it too,
Bonnie. And Pisces are also known to be spiritual and like this kind of stuff.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a Pisces just recently. My daughter dated a Pisces. It sounds kind of like your guy, only she's a Scorpio. So it should have been working out perfect, but the communication wasn't good. He was too shy. She was too deep. And what ended up happening was they misunderstood each other. So I get the shyness of Pisces, and they sometimes, but, you know, it's interesting about Pisces, and
I have a female friend that's a Pisces, and she's aggressive. She'll ask a man out.
Well, that's okay. That's okay, because I'm a water sign too, and I would too. So there you go. I mean, I don't necessarily think shy. Like my daughter will make a first move, and she's a Scorp, and they usually don't. But it has to be a certain. There has to be a certain, you know, atmosphere for her to do that. So, you know, maybe your friend has a lot of Sagittarius in her.
Oh, yeah. I find that, like Sagittarius men I don't really get along with because they're just, like, players.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that do. Well, they just want to have a good time that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're players, but my son is a Sagittarius, and he got in trouble this weekend. But he, with him wanting the girlfriend, was thinking he was a player. But I do believe Sagittarius are worldly, they're travel signs, they like to have a really good time, and they like a lot of fun. So, and I that's why
but
I think.
But what I like about Sagittarius is that they love animals.
Oh, totally. I mean, yeah. Well, they're half animal, that's why.
Oh,
they're half. Okay. So, do you have any other questions for Chris before we move on?
Well, this is curious. There was a guy I met last week. His name is Mark, and his friend told me to approach him, and I kind of didn't because I wanted him to approach me. Was he single or married? Because it was just very odd. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he might be taken.
That's what I thought because somebody asked him if he was single, and he goes, who said I'm single? But yet his friend said to me, go over to him. And I just thought this doesn't sound too right because the guy had my number a while back and never called. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to give him my number again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he comes up as a two of hearts, which is usually, I mean, means they're taken.
He came up with a what?
The two of hearts.
Yeah, and it was weird. He kept going to his phone. It was just weird, you know. It was just really weird. So my instincts was right because I don't want to be lied to.
Right.
Well,
honey,
you understand.
Yeah, yeah.
He said
to
somebody who says he said to someone who said I'm single, and his friend said go over to him. I'm like, no, I don't think.
Yeah,
so.
You know, it's so weird. I feel the jokester card should have come up, the jokester. Like that it was like a joke. Like they were just going to, like it was at your expense, but it wasn't at your expense because they just were going to laugh about it. But, you know, good thing.
But you're saying with the Leo and the Pisces, you think the Pisces is more sincere, but he's like really, really shy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would, just even based on the cards that were coming up around it, I think you'd have to be, you know, a lot more more aggressive than anything.
Yeah. I know that some people won't, but hey, I feel like, I don't feel that you should be shy, and I don't feel that you really are. I think you think you are. So if I were you,
not that. I don't want to, like, put myself out there if I'm not going to,
What's
it's not going to be reciprocated. You know, I don't want to
Well, here's, you know, I'm going to give everybody a good example. So I hope everybody's listening who is single. And because I am a counselor and I keep saying that, but they keep wanting me to say this. I had a friend. He is a physician. He's older, but he looked like Groucho Marx. Okay. And I just love him to pieces. But he got the most girls in college, and all these good looking guys didn't. And I said to him, Roger, why did you get so many great girls? And he said, you know, Bonnie, people like us, we'll ask 400 girls out, And if we're lucky, we know we'll only get a couple, but they'll all be beautiful, whereas good-looking guys just think they're just so cool, they don't ask anybody out until they wait for the girl to ask them. So why I'm telling you this story has nothing to do with looks, but it has to do with this. Why should it matter whatever you put out? If you want something, you go after and get it. And if they don't reciprocate, oh, well, you can't use that as a hurt or an ego downer, because life is life. And if you don't try, you don't get, is what I'm hearing. So for me, and I were you, because you do have a really, you do have a personality that would do this, don't worry about the outcome. Just worry about trying. And that's what I'm hearing for you. There is no hurt because you're not in a relationship. There is no, oh, if somebody doesn't want me, oh, well, I'm going to be upset. No, you'd go to the next one and try. Because somebody that you say, hi there, good looking, I'm your friend, will look at you and say, hi there, beautiful, I'm going to take you. But if you don't do it, you might miss that guy. Mm-hmm. So, to me, I say go for it. Go for anything, okay, that you like. And don't be worried what people think or the outcome. Don't be attached to the outcome. Be attached to the fact that you tried.
Yeah, but I'm glad I, like, you guys confirmed that it was good. I didn't, that last weekend, give my number to a guy and be a joke about it. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. But you know, you can feel. I mean, the thing is, I feel like you have a radar. I feel like you have an antenna that feels out. So if you have that antenna that feels out, you know whether to do it or not. You know whether, you know, it's the right thing to do or not. Maybe you'll slip up every once in a while, but you knew this wasn't a right situation. And you acted appropriately. So I
you
say
see, and I don't have a problem attracting guys, even like online. But the problem is, you know, guys want you to drive all the way to them, and I don't feel like even an hour away, they're crazy.
Well, then you have a standard that you want to keep, and you just keep it, and you, if you stick to it and you don't want to sway from that, then that's the guy that's going to come out and see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
good luck.
Especially if you never met them before. Thank you so much for confirming everything. And I wish you both a very happy holiday. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go to Minnow. Do you know what? Go to Minnow Pond on YouTube if you have it, and go look up your decante. See what you think.
Oh, I will. It's funny because my mom's a card reader. She reads cards. She's psychic, but she can't do her own kids.
Oh, you can't. I'm going to tell you. Ask Chris. Chris, how many times do I ask you about Arthur and Lauren?
Oh, all the time.
So I tell your mom, she's right on the money. We have too much emotion in it. There's too much emotion, and we're attached to the outcome. See, you know, the best readers, and this is what I find, and I don't know that Chris will agree, and I think he will, but the best readers are not attached to the reading. If you know any reader that's attached to the reading, then their ego is going to get in the way. So if you're not attached to the reading, and your mom would be attached to the reading, then it's not a great idea. I mean, you can definitely, she'll tell you things. I feel like your mom does tell you things. But for big things, she's not going to say because she might say, but you're going to be, your radar is going to be up because you can't. You cannot read your own, you know, your own kin for that reason. And it's really because you've got too much emotion in the outcome. Now, there's things that she reads for you, I know she does, that's right on the money.
Yeah.
But the real tough ones, she'll tell you she can't see. So I'd like to talk to your mom. So tell her to call my show.
Okay, great. I will. Thank you both so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Have a great day. All right. Bye-bye. Bye. I just love meeting new people, Chris. It's just so wonderful when we get somebody on the show that one is, you know, from, you know, being psychic and having a psychic family. It's really so interesting to hear. I am going to go to 708. Sometimes 708 does not want to talk, but a 708, you want to talk to Chris, you are on. Hi. Hi, 708, you're on with Chris. Okay. I am going to go right back to 719. We've got people in and out all day here. Hey, Cal, you can ask your questions. It's crazy. I got people in chat. Yeah, so go ahead. It's your game today. Yeah, so what do you think of? Well, before we get into you, why don't we, because then I'm going to ask Chris, but before we get into you, how do you feel about what we've said? Because you're psychic, too. How do you feel about everything we've talked about?
Oh, yeah. That's why I call in. I enjoy listening because it's like it's very confirming with a lot of things. I'm like going, yep. And it's like, and I learned new things too. You know, it's like I wasn't real up on the you know, Decantes or whatever. But it's like, it's like from what I remember, you know, reading different things. I'm like going, it fits. It absolutely fits.
Well, you know what, Kelly, you could call in. I mean, you can call in on your phone because you got to go find your books and all of your cards because you're going to blow Chris away with what you do. I know it. So get your book, go out there and find it before the snow hits up there and get it. You can actually be on the show.
It was minus one here today. So I think we're getting into National Hate Florida Month.
Well, wait, where the heck are you? But you're in Wyoming, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, where's Wyoming so cold? Where's Wyoming attached to?
Let's see. We're like below Montana. We're above Colorado. We're at altitude. We're, you know, the town that I'm in is like 6,800 feet. And the next quote biggest town, if you will, 40 miles off is like 7,200 feet. So it's not maybe the latitude and longitude as much as it is the altitude.
Well, I got to tell you something. I have a girlfriend who's very, very psychic, and she goes through Wyoming. I'm going to give her your number. But she says where you are, she always wants to retire. She said it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, and she travels United States. She travels the United States. So I can't wait to have you growing all your vegetables and doing all your things, and one day I'm going to show up at your door. So, all right, go ahead and talk to Chris. What would you like to ask Chris about yourself?
About myself. It's been really interesting because I've been reading one of my old books, the Edgar Cayce books on like dreams and intuition and that kind of stuff, and I've been kind of going through that. And it's kind of coming back around. It's like, okay, what am I supposed to be doing here? You know, it's like, I mean, I kind of sort of know. You know, it's like it's that I kind of sort of know and I kind of sort of don't know. It's like I know my numbers are supposed to be things like I'm supposed to be a, you know, spiritual teacher, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking about last night and going, you know, it's great to know some of the stuff about yourself, but it comes down to how you make people believe you. You know, it's like because I guess a lot of my issues come around like, I don't know. I'll say at the local level, okay, there was another really famous guy who said, you know, a prophet is unhonored in his own town, okay?
Can I tell you something, Kelly, because before maybe you want Chris to give you a general reading, but I've got to tell you what I'm hearing, okay? And this is crazy because it's never come up for you before, and Chris, I want to see what you think. They keep saying steward of the earth, that there are people here who aren't meant, especially where you are, to bring enlightening spiritual gifts to a certain town verbally, but they're here to enlighten and lift the spirit of the earth. And they're telling me you're an earth steward, which I've never felt, because I feel like you're more of a you know, in the ether steward. But what they're saying is what you're really here for and why you feel such a, you know, a pull to where you are, where you should anyway, and the heritage and the ancestry is because you're here to uplift the spiritual part of the earth where you are. So I don't know if that's like that's what I'm hearing, steward
that
of the earth.
Yes, that absolutely makes a whole lot of sense to me. That explains a whole lot. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't feel And then I want Chris to see if he can give you even a general reading. But I don't feel that you're there to give enlightenment as far as the ethers. You have that. You're already there. You know where you're from. You know where all of your peeps are, and you know how to get a hold of them. But what you're really there in that town to do, and in your life and your life journey on this incarnation as Kelly, is you are the steward of the earth. You are lifting the spirit and the vibrations of where you are.
All right, that makes, thank you. That actually helps a lot. That makes a huge sense. It does.
All right, go ahead for it, Chris. Do you want to get it?
Yeah.
Can you do a general reading, or do you first tell her what you think of what I said? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally, number one, I agree with what you said. But also, I mean, for me, I think that, you know, all this stuff is, you know, anything that people consider esoteric is just becoming more and more acceptable, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like, people are embracing it more and more. And I mean, I really see that. I really see it growing. I mean, like, bigger and bigger and bigger, no matter, you know, what it may seem, you know, that people believe in all these things. And I think, I mean, I think it was Edgar Cayce who said that, you know, eventually kind of more of this, like, psychic type science is kind of going to become more important than science itself, and that people are really going to start to actually see the kind of the benefits and the validity when it comes to you know,
absolutely,
like psychic intuition and all these other things. And I mean, that's what Edgar Cayce saw from the future. So I think it's, you know, going to stabilize for you and, you know, everybody as we keep moving forward, for sure.
Can you do because Kelly always likes, before we move to the next caller, can you do a general spread for her?
Yeah, I mean, sorry.
Or you like a question?
Cards.
Okay.
No, that's fine. I pulled some cards.
So what I can tell you, if it'll help, is I am a February 7th Aquarius.
Right. And you have, you know, you have some good stuff coming up here. I mean, the first card you have is the Lovers, which, you know, I mean, I don't really look at it as a love card myself. I view it more as like a choice, like having a choice to do something. And it's funny because the next card you have is the Two of Hearts as well, which, you know, I frequently say that the Two of Hearts is the Lovers kind of in the playing card deck.
She could use love. I mean, she could.
Only love of the earth, perhaps.
Yeah,
I
right,
don't see
true.
It happening with a person, okay? Love is my choice.
I mean, to me, it is also, I mean, you know, the two cards very much represent Gemini as well. And, you know, to me, it is about living in two different worlds and kind of like learning to create the balance between, you know, the spiritual world and the, you know, regular real world, if you want to call it that. And it's the other interesting thing here is you have the Six of Spades next, and that is also another big-time balance card. It's very karmic. Six of Spades is instant karma. I mean, you throw out the boomerang, you know, and you either catch it or it hits you, depending on kind of what
right,
what decisions you make there. But it is all, I mean, everything you have here, literally every single card is about creating the balance between the two worlds. And, you know, when Bonnie was talking to you, the first thing that... Did she say something? I'm getting somebody else talking here or something.
I don't have anybody. Maybe Kelly, are you there?
The question might be who else is there. It's like that's a good question. My group has been kind of silent lately, so it's like, yeah, I'm interested.
I mean, what I was going to say is when Bonnie was talking, I mean, the thing that I got as well was that you could create, you know, you can create messages and things that are less esoteric and bring them back down to earth, so to speak. I mean, I try to do that in my videos. I try to make them not seem so kind of like out there. And, you know, you can deliver your messages without people even knowing that you're psychic. You can still kind of get that stuff, you know, out there by just changing the way that you, you know, kind of deliver the message. It's kind of, you have a lot of this like transformation type of stuff as well going on here. So,
I love that because, you know what, Kelly, she's not in an area where, but I totally get, I know what I hear, and I know what Chris is saying. Chris is saying that instead of going the, oh, I'm a psychic, I'm a this, I'm a that, because that's not going to go over real well, you could still tell people, like in intuitively, you could say, you know, I feel like you need a hug. I really feel like today might be tough for you. You know, that's all about intuition, about what, where your boundaries are, what you can do, what you can't do. But you're really, really there to tell. Gosh, I see it so clearly. Kelly, and I don't know if Chris can see this picture because, you know, I get pictures and images. It's like I see this woman on the prairie tilling the earth. So I've got to tell you, I'm so not earthbound, but you are. It's like you've got this bonnet on and you're digging up, and I see carrots and I see all kinds of things being laid, you know, and harvested. So that's why I'm saying you're the storm of the earth. Go ahead, Chris. Do you have anything else that you want to tell?
That's funny, because that's really accurate.
Yeah. Interesting. I love my visual. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, yeah, I was going to say with that stick there, you know, that's all about, you know, the earth and planting. I mean, sticks are all about planting seeds and you know, kind of growing things and all of that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how cards work. I love it. That's how energy works. But anyway, Cal, one thing I did want you to ask about, and then Chris and I are going to do some talking, is because we want to go over what he does. But what I wanted to ask you is, what about the goat?
That's still a work in progress.
I don't know. My teacher told him that I couldn't.
Okay, grab yourself a book.
Okay, so I see you're with the kids.
I'm picking up my son at the moment, yeah, but that's okay. He's running to get his stuff here, so we're good.
Okay, you know, Chris, do you have any words about these goats? I'm really nervous about them, Kelly. It's cold out.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And I'm afraid you might. I'm afraid maybe if it gets that cold and they're not in somewhere, that they're going to, you know, you might lose it. They might lose a few and they're not your goats yet.
Yeah. But there's a barn. I mean, there is a barn there. So it's like they have shelter.
Okay, but who's going to put them in the barn if you're not, did you put a no trespassing sign on your property?
Oh, no. I mean, it's the barn is open like 24/7. So it's like, yeah, they kind of go in and out.
How do they go in the barn by themselves? Do they open the door?
The door's open.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's just left open. It's like it's an open door policy. Yeah.
What about food? Is there food in there?
I haven't checked. It's like because as far as I know, the gal who's involved with this, I haven't notified her yet, because I have to wait for the legal part of it to come through and for the state to say, you know, yes, you know, your lien is secure, blah blah blah, and then I can go, you know, let her know all the stuff. So it's like, so far she doesn't even know I'm in town, which is to my advantage.
Okay, well, have you gotten any of the stuff? Have you done any of the preliminary work?
Some of it. It's like I still got to get the what I call the cop shop reports and that kind of stuff, because that's going to require a trip down to the records division or whatever it is.
Okay, all right. Well, I know you've got to go. I can hear kids. But listen, Kelly, we love you and have a great day.
All righty.
Awesome. Bye bye. You know what, Chris? The problem is I have people coming and going. They're dropping off, and I can only keep a couple. It's really crazy. I've never seen. So I'm having issues with Blog Talk. Not quite sure why. But so tell everybody how to find you, what you do. And then tell everybody. I want to ask you some questions, because now that I have you on and you're my, I have your undivided attention, see, I can talk to you. So tell everybody how you got involved in all of this, how to find you, what you do, like we do in the beginning. You know, I've changed the show up. So now at the end, I'd like everybody to know how to find you, what you offer, and what you do, because you do this for a living.
Right. Well, first, you can find me on YouTube. That's probably the easiest way, because all my links to my website and everything are there. If you just search Minnow Pond, I'll come right up. Even if you search your sign, most of my videos come up pretty high in the YouTube search. So, I mean, if you're searching, you'll probably see one of my videos for my sign. But I read playing cards instead of tarot cards. And, I've been doing it for a very long time. I started because I needed to use my energy due to a skin condition on my hands. And once I started using the cards, my skin kind of cleared up. So that is how I got started.
Wow. Organic Skies is asking, is this live? Yes, this is live. That's what I'm shocked that some people have gotten off. So Organic Skies, if you want to call in, girlfriend, you can call in. So what I wanted to tell you was, that's interesting that your skin cleared up. I mean, that's like, you know, we say stuff, you know, and I'm a nurse, but, you know, I think I'm everything. I mean, here I'm a counselor, I'm a nurse, I'm a this, I'm a that. I hate hearing myself even say it. But, you know, it's interesting because we say the gut. When you have emotional issues or energetic issues, it comes out in the gut. A lot of times people, we say you eat your emotions. But with your hands that you had a skin condition on and then you started reading energetically and the energy cleared it up, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
How did you ever think to pick the cards up? Did something tell you to go and see these cards?
I have very busy hands as well. I always have had like a deck laying around that I would always shuffle and things like that. I mean, and then it all started when I heard somebody talking about reading cards on Coast to Coast, and that's kind of how I got started. Then I just started messing around and reading them. That's pretty much it. The rest is history.
How did you get on YouTube? The rest is history, because I don't know how I found you. Now it's so long ago. But how did you get on YouTube, and why did you decide to go on there?
One of the main reasons is I had some businesses when I was younger. Not that long ago, those businesses I ended up not doing so well after doing really well at a young age. And then I kind of had this thought that I needed to, kind of the same thing with the hands. I had this feeling that I needed to share my energy and things like that to get things to move forward. I was very stuck before I started doing this for about 2 years. No forward movement in my life at all. It just kind of came to me that I needed to read for people, and I started doing it, and that was it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, 928 is on, ready to talk to you. Hi, 928. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Organic Skies?
This is.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I can't believe I actually got your show. It's like almost impossible to find you anymore.
I know. Well, you know what? It's crazy because, you know, I'm going to be off, and I have to tell you, this is Maggie. Maggie is, oh, my gosh. We won't even talk about what Maggie does. Maggie, I haven't seen you for a while, and you can tell Chris what you do, but I've got to tell you something, Maggie. I'm going to be off for a month because remember Kelly used to take the shows from December 15th till about January 15th. So I am going to shut the shows down. And then last week I had a short week, but yeah, it's crazy. And I'm on from like Monday through Thursday. I was on Monday through Friday, but I had to have a break. So not that I needed one, but I just, things started happening. I had to get appointments done and things like that. Well, Maggie, before I start telling you about me, you are on with Chris Reck, Minnow Pond. Maggie, go for it.
Hey, Chris, I've seen you on YouTube, and I'm a real fan of yours.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for doing what you do. We really appreciate you.
Thanks.
He's a Pisces. He's a man of few words.
Oh, wow. A a man after my own heart. I have four planets in Pisces, the sun, the moon, Venus, and another one.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's why you're so psychic, honey.
Yeah,
yeah, thank heavens for the Gemini rising, or I'd be a basket case.
Right.
Well, what do you, please ask Chris something, because I can't wait to hear these two together. Go ahead, Maggie.
All righty. I'd like to know about my prospects of accumulating enough income to travel this year.
See here. I mean, I'll tell you this. The first thing that came into my head is it's easier than you think. That was a message that came in very strongly, and actually, it's going to be easier. Let's see here. So you start off with the you definitely start off with the Tower card here, which I'm getting in your past. You know, Towers, of course. It can be disaster and upheaval and losing something, having a piece of you fall away, being through a lot. I mean, I don't, you know, everybody has this like doom and gloom thing with the Tower card. I always say that, you know, it's really not that bad of a card. I mean, it definitely brings in challenges and things like that, but it kind of allows you to build yourself back up.
Tower card. The Tower card is great. It means start over, new beginnings.
Yeah, and I love the Tower card too, Maggie. Go ahead.
The other thing is, I mean, when you think about it, they always say it's like something breaking away. But, I mean, I say if it was weak enough to break away, then it has to be kind of rebuilt in the first place, because obviously it wasn't, you know, strong enough to stand there. So, you know, you have to rebuild it in the first place. But, I mean, you have several travel cards here. You have the Ten of Hearts coming up next. Definitely a travel card. It's a work card, so even, like, working while traveling. So, I mean, you know, making money while you travel would be, you know, really awesome. It's also a card of, I mean, it's a card of a lot of things. Tens bring in a lot of stability. You know, they make your life more stable. And Ten of Hearts is fortune after difficulty as well. I mean, traditional readers who you know, originally read playing cards would just simply read it as fortune after difficulty, meaning, like, you know, after a difficult period of time, having some, like, good things happen to you and being able to move forward. It's also, I mean, it's a card of good luck in using luck to your advantage, creating your own luck, you know, finding, like, lucky situations and things like that. People who get the Ten of Hearts definitely can deal with a lot of people. I mean, you can definitely get, like, be admired by a lot of people. I always say with every single ten in the deck as well that it really does represent a lot of people, and the potential for even more people, or just a lot of people if you don't have a lot of followers or anything right now, to follow you. It's a card of, like, admiration, people really liking you in a lot of ways. Ten of Hearts, people always end up in the public eye some way or another. You know, you really can't help it. Eventually, at some point in your life, you know, you get noticed with a card like the Ten of Hearts. It's just because, people want to hear from you and things like that. The Tens, it's drawing my attention, and I'm not really getting any more messages off of it, So I don't know why it's really kind of like standing out to me at the moment. But, you know, like I said, tens definitely can represent having things not go according to plan in the past, but now things can finally move forward. You have the King of Diamonds coming up next, which would definitely be you. King of Diamonds is like the boss. A lot of people call it the CEO. I mean, I'm not a big fan of calling the King of Diamonds the CEO, because the King of Diamonds can be very reactive, and you know, I don't think you are. You actually have a nice balance, because you have the Jack of Hearts coming up next, which I think they're both you. The King of Diamonds can make quick decisions. Jack of Hearts, you know, trusts his intuition more than anything. So with that mixture, both energies around you, I think you can make some quick decisions here and also trust your intuition. So you're not going to make the same mistakes that a King of Diamonds probably would. But what I'm really drawn to is the Four of Diamonds here at the end, which is traveling for business, making money while you travel. I mean, you know, all these things come up with the Four of Diamonds. It's very stable. I think your life in general, I think you're going to see a lot of, like, grounding taking place. And you know, let's see here. Yeah, it's like things kind of ground out for you over the next, I would say, it feels like a little bit longer than a year, to be honest. I think it's going to be like it's going to be a process. I think it will have to do with travel as well.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting message.
Yeah, do you know what I got, Chris? I mean, no, I'm listening, but I have to tell you what what Maggie does, because I'm going to ask her if she knows what you are. I'm going to put her on the spot. But Maggie, what I picked up when he said 10, that he's drawn to the 10 with no more messages kind of thing, I hate to say this, and maybe I'm, you know, looking at it differently, but I feel like everything will start to pan out in about 10 months, meaning it'll start moving forward for you to be able to start looking at really traveling seriously. So that's what I picked up.
Excellent. So that will give me time to ready myself to be able to make money writing while I'm traveling and get my house ready to rent it out while I'm gone.
Yeah. How do you feel about that statement, Chris? Because you're the one that was looking at the 10. But while you were looking at the 10, all I kept hearing was 10 months, 10 months, 10 months. And when you said over a year, that's exactly what that 10 months was looking at. It was looking at that things might not start rolling until about, you're going to start preparing, possibly looking, possibly researching, possibly trying to find the perfect match. But about 10 months is when you'll see some movement of maybe some money that you'll be able to have some loose change, they're saying, will come in handy for you to start the process of looking to start traveling.
Awesome. Perfect. You guys are really cool. And you have no idea how much I appreciate you being here doing this.
Oh, well, we appreciate you.
Thank you, Maggie.
Do you know what she does? And I haven't had her do it for a long time because she hasn't been, one, on and around, and two, I haven't seen her at the show very often. But she was my treat card reader. Besides many things, she's an author. She does the pranic tube. If you would hear Maggie's story, I mean, it's just amazing. And yeah, she came from some hard times and from loss. So I totally, you know what I am? I forgot to tell you because Maggie told me I'm the willow tree.
Oh, there you go.
The unseen.
Go ahead.
You're in tune with everything that cannot be seen with the eyes.
I love that. Oh, my gosh, I love that, Maggie. You don't know. That makes me so happy. Do you know what, or you don't have your cards, but do you know what Chris's tree is?
I would say he was definitely a willow as well.
Okay, because, you know, yeah, we all connected in some way. So that tree, that willow tree, could be one of the examples of connection.
Yeah, willow trees are really cool. Not only do they signify a connection with the unseen, but on the material plane, they provide us with aspirin for our analgesic and antipyretic needs.
Well, listen, you know what my husband says? He has to take an aspirin when he's with me, so maybe I'll be the tree that provides it for him.
There you go.
And Chris is too young to understand that because he's not quite there yet. But you know what, Chris? If you make everybody get a headache like they say I do, you're going to love being a willow tree because you can actually help heal them.
Right
Max?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? Do you know who's on the line? And have you talked to Kelly for a long time? Because she's on listening.
I was going to call her today.
Well, she's on. I only have 6 minutes. I'm going to let's see if she can say at least hello. These are two friends,
okay,
Chris, and neither one of them know that they're on. So just a
All
second.
Right.
Hello, Kelly?
Hello. Yes, I heard
Maggie.
Yes. I was like, well, you said organic skies. I was like, well, Maggie made it on. Cool. How awesome is that?
That's so awesome. Maggie, Kelly's on. So say hello before we get off.
Hi, Kellen.
Hello. How goes it today? I was going to say, Bonnie, I don't know if you knew it or not, but it's like she's got her first book published. It's like she got it.
I know. I want it. I interviewed. Believe me, I want you back on. As soon as I take my hiatus, Kelly, that you're supposed to be taking the show. But, you know, hey, once my hiatus is up. Do you know what? I have this new person that they sent me their book. Do you ever hear of, it's amazing, it's a forward by, did you ever hear of Neil Donald Walsh?
Yes, he's on The Secret. He's one of the presenters on The Secret.
Well, this woman, he did it says forward by Neil Donald Walsh, The Evolutionary Testament of Co-Creation, The Promise Will Be Kept by Barbara Marks Hubbard. She sent me the book. It is so thick. I don't know how I'm going to get done reading it, but I've got home here. I have almost a month to do it. I don't want to talk politics because she's a political figure, and her politics and my politics and everybody's politics are probably different. But she wrote this book about co-creation that is supposed to be amazing, and who helped her write it, I guess, was Neil Donald Walsh. So I might be interviewing her. Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, Maggie, that means I need your book. I'm going to have to go to Amazon and download it because, you know, I want to read it. You were on telling about your book.
Yes, it's basically a handbook of everything that I've learned the hard way.
I know. Chris, this is interesting for you because, you know, all those tens you said she had, which was, you know, tough and lost, but now it's good. That is Maggie. So I love this. Well, listen, this is a love fest, and I only have 3 minutes, so I have to say goodbye to both of you, but not Chris. And I want to thank Maggie for you coming on. I haven't seen you for a long time. And, Kelly, you know it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bonnie and Chris. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Is that crazy? Is this crazy? You know, sometimes
crazy.
It's just a crazy world. Love having a talk show. I like when people get on and talk. And I know that everybody enjoys it, too. I can see in chat also. So, Chris, I just want to thank you again and tell you that I wish you the bestest luck. You hear everybody's your fan. For anybody listening or archived, it is Chris Wreck from Minnow Pond. Please go to YouTube, put in MINNOWPOND, and watch your sun sign, moon sign, or star sign. And now we've got decanties. So, Chris, good luck with this. I can't wait to go and hear mine. So, I thank you, and I hope you will join us again.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For everyone, tomorrow we have Jerry Humphreys. Jerry Humphreys is from the UK. He's the United Kingdom's psychic medium. He's the CEO of PsychicInsightMagazine.com, of which I am a columnist and a predictor. And he is also a pet communicator, a Reiki master. He is a person-centered counselor, and he is very gifted. So please join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Jerry and I will be here just to talk to you. Thanks. Bye.